Hey, welcome to We Want the Show. This is T. Martin. How coming at you, and I have my returning guest, which I know people have said that I'm recycling guests, but here's the thing. I like talking to these people, so I don't care. This is Jack. Hey, welcome back, Jack.
Thank you.
Man, it has been a couple weeks, I think, since I've talked to you. Maybe I am recycling some guests, but I don't really care because that's my show.
Exactly.
All right. So, well, we wanted to have Jack on here, which we're going to have him on here again fairly soon because I like you, Jack. It's one of those things that I feel that I can talk to you about pretty much anything, and then I have very little judgment about it. And that makes me happy.
Same, brother.
All right.
All right. Lay it on me. Let's go.
Okay. So this show, I wanted to talk to you about basically Tales from the Crypt. Now, do you remember Tales from the Crypt?
Absolutely. I used to love that show.
Oh my gosh. It was a epitome of my childhood, to be completely honest. I remember when I was a kid sneaking out to a friend's house and watching it at his because we didn't have HBO. So I would sneak out at like midnight and go over to my buddy's house.
Yeah,
to see the second showing of Tales from the Crypt because it went on at 10 and then went back on at 12.
Yeah, I like that show. Like I'm not so much into horror as much anymore, but you know, I was much more at the time. And I like that. Like, I love the episode where there's anything like skulls, like dead people coming back to life. Like, that's, I love that. Yeah. And also, you know, I was, you know, 15 years old and they showed boobs sometimes. So,
oh, yes, that's of course. Yeah, that is very true. I think I was a little bit younger, but yes, they showed the boobage.
Mm-hmm.
To entice the watcher, that's a dichotomy or a thing that doesn't really happen much anymore. It happens all the time. So it's
done different now. In the 80s, it was different. Like that was actually like something that people deliberately added. Like look at Return of the Living Dead. Like the strip scene in that was deliberately added because
amazing scene.
Yeah.
And then she's eaten and is naked zombie.
Yeah, but it was deliberately added because it was kind of a, I guess you'd say, like, formulaic thing at the time. Like, you had to have TNA in your horror movie. So they made that choice deliberately.
I don't remember the actress's name right off the top
Linnea
of my head.
Linnea Quigley.
She was also in Sorority Babes in the Slimeball Bolarama. She was considered an 80s scream queen.
Yeah, she was in a movie I watched the other day, Night of the Demons.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Night of the Demons.
I've watched that like 2 days ago, and every one of her, well, not everyone, but like her opening scene, they basically have the camera like almost up her butt. Like, you know? Like, for real, the first time you see her on camera, it's her bent-over panties. So,
well, the press junket at the time was Freddie and Jason were too scared to come.
Okay.
That was the press junket. Freddie and Jason were too scared to come to the Night of the Demon. Mm. Yes, I remember that show, that movie.
Name
very,
drops.
Very, very well. but yes, the Miss Quigley, she was I saw her on Joe Bob Briggs. I don't know if you
remember Joe Bob. Yes.
Oh yes, great, great guy. He got a revamp on the Shudder channel.
Yeah, he is still going, isn't he?
Well, he got a revamp on the Shudder channel, and it was pretty good. It was pretty good. He's got a porn star that's his male girl now. From back in the day, I don't know if anybody knew about Joe Bob Briggs. Before he was with Monster Vision, he did at the drive-in, and and he did a lot of really funny stuff. He's from Texas,
yeah.
And before that, he was an actual journalist.
Really,
that tried his hand at doing because he loved horror movies. He just absolutely loved horror movies.
Let me ask you this. Do you remember Commander USA's Groovy Movies?
Commander USA's group? No, but I remember USA Up All Night with Rhonda Shear and Gilbert Godfrey.
Okay, yeah, same network, but yeah, Commander USA. He dressed like a kind of like a working class superhero, like he wore a cape, but he just like smoked a cigar. He was like a plumber who wore a cape, pretty much, and he would show these old B horror movies. That's, you know, like great. late night on the USA Network.
Never saw it. I'm gonna have to definitely look that up. Because that sounds fun.
Yeah.
Because I just remember Rhonda Shear, because I had such a crush. I would stay up for USA Up all night when Rhonda Shear would be on there, and that was just so much fun. She was so funny. She's a comedian that I really did that understood to use her body as a prop,
like Elvira.
Yeah, for her antics, exactly, and that was really really fun. We were talking though about Tales from the Crypt. Now, I read that the hidden guy. I'm gonna say hit and miss because some of his movies were absolutely amazing. Some of his movies you could only watch once, and his other of his movies were just god awful. But M. Night Shyamalan,
I was never impressed with. I mean, The Sixth Sense was good. I think that was his height. I think that's the best thing he made. I never saw Signs. I saw The Village, and that was garbage.
that is one word for it. Yes.
Yeah, and actually, the funny thing is, the first time I saw that, I went on this girl went on a date with this girl who I was going to school with, and she's like, "Oh, you have to see this movie, The Village." Like, okay, like she already knew the twist, and she wanted to watch it again. Like. I don't know, and the twist wasn't that impressive. Like, the thing about his movie, I don't know, maybe I overthink it, but I've never been able to not figure out his twists.
You're telling me that you saw the twist in The Sixth Sense?
Yes, I did.
Okay, well, I'm not...
Well, I mean, because I knew there was a twist, and so I was thinking about it.
Oh, yes, the twist. Got to have the twist. I myself, I try not to look... my wife does that a lot. She will tell me what's going to happen, and then it happens, and she ruins it for me. But because I'm a man who sits back and I watch a movie for the enjoyment of it.
Yeah.
Now for twists, that was one thing that Tales from the Crypt always had to have. Now, if people don't know where Tales from the Crypt came from, it came from EC Comics. It was a comics back in the 50s.
I've read some of those comics. My brother used to have a bunch of them.
I have a couple of them myself, and it was back in the day where those were actually considered extremely taboo.
Yeah, they're it's almost on the level like pornography in the 50s.
Oh my gosh, it was yes, absolutely. It was that they could not put those out there. You had to order them off of old other EC Comics just to get them. And it was, but the twist we were talking about, that M. Night Shyamalan tried to revamp the Tales from the Crypt. And I heard that John Cassier, the original voice of the Crypt Keeper, was very, very happy to reinvent and do again what he had done and made very, well, extremely popular back in the 19, late 80s, early 90s. And it's now to me knowing that he probably just didn't have a job and he would totally be able to do it maybe with it. But the show was scrapped from the higher ups. They said it just was too much. So M. Night Shyamalan did, I think, a GoFundMe for the whole situation. I think I actually joined Twitter once just to put my hat in the ring to say, go for it, buddy, because that's a show that I would love to have revamped because it's not out. Well, I've got HBO Plus and it's not out. That's an HBO show. Why isn't it?
I don't know. Maybe it's a technical thing. I mean, it's like maybe it's a technical thing. Like if you look at like WKRP in Cincinnati, like that was a hugely popular show, but they can't publish it because it used so much music that the music rights are just impossible to deal with. So I'm totally speculating there, and I'm kind of pulling that out of my ass. But
well, as long as you can get it past the big pustule out of it, then you're good.
Yeah, that's dormant right now. We'll talk about that later.
Well, I wanted to just I'm a big fan of that show, and then we went on to talk about other things. But I guess I missed the 90s. You said that you were a horror fan before, or when did you stop becoming a fan of horror movies, and not crap horror movies, because there's a whole lot of crap horror movies, but
I still like crap horror movies.
Now define crap.
Well, to me, like the best stuff in as far as that goes is where it's made like honestly, made like with a true intent, but it's just bad. Like, I mean, you know, the ultimate example would be like Ed Wood, you know, but that's generic. I'm not talking about that. Just
Ed Wood, Plan 9 from Outer Space, and
yeah, just bad movies.
Glenn or Glenda.
Yeah, and I actually got a collection. An ex-girlfriend, or one I was still dating, her bought me a box set. That was a set of movies that Troma had bought the rights to and like retitled with like super crazy titles. And I think it was 10 DVDs overall, 10 movies. Most of them were unwatchable, but like the worst one in there, like the worst made one, they'd retitled Curse of the Cannibal Confederates. it is so terrible that it's amazing. It's beautiful. Like, just it just keeps coming at you, like how terrible it is. Yeah, but you know, at the same time, like I consider movies like Transformers really bad, and I have no patience for movies like that. So,
oh, see, I own those. I own the entire series. I like those because they're so bad.
Yeah, maybe I need to get into those.
Yeah, yes. What was the guy who... He's the same guy who tried to reinvent the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Michael Bay.
Michael Bay. Gosh, the guy should have stuck with music videos.
Yeah, he does like this huge... The thing I think that really bugs me about him is like his whole like military jack-off thing, where it's just like just the militarism of it, the military army navy porn that's inherent in it, and that bothers me. You know what I mean? You know,
you mean not the hugely hot models that he puts?
See, that's cheap though. That's cheap.
It's business.
Yeah, and you know, those movies make a lot of money, but
that's what he's there for.
Yeah, but it's a cheap way to do it.
No, it's
well, it's hugely expensive, but on an intellectual level, it's cheap.
Oh well, no one will ever credit Michael Bay for an intellectual movie.
Yeah,
that is something that's never going to happen.
You know, I wish he would. You know, I wish he would. He has like tons of access to resources and stuff like that. I wish he would. And I'd like to see people branch out. You know, I like to see actors branch out and get outside like their normal milieu. Like take Randy Quaid. You know, he's mostly known as Uncle Eddie, but he's had a couple roles that were like very much outside that. Like Parents, number one, is the movie.
For some reason, I knew you were going to say that because we were talking about horror movies and that's about the cannibalistic parents.
Yeah. Yeah, he's terrifying in that movie. And he also had a role in Brokeback Mountain. And he was not a nice guy in that movie. You know? I respect it when actors are able to get outside and when they're able to be diverse. I love that.
Brokeback Mountain.
Yes.
I'm trying to remember that one. Oh, wait.
It's the gay cowboy movie.
It wasn't a gay cowboy movie. That was a romance turned sexual.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's either them or the cows.
So, you know, the funny thing about that movie is it's almost like it's trolling. Like, everything they give you. Like the title, Brokeback Mountain. and it's about homosexual romance. Okay, and one of the characters is named Jack Twist. I mean, like, how much are you going to give me here? Like, how much are you trying to mess with me?
It could be considered if you would have put that into a different context, that could be a title of a porn movie.
Yeah, it's a good movie. You know, it's decent. You know,
it's very good. I enjoyed that movie. I thought it was decent enough that you saw a bromance go further. Yeah. And so I understood the context, and I have no problem with any type of love as long as it's consensual and as long as it's happy.
Absolutely.
And that's the only thing that I will put in there is
But everything about it, though, it was like a trolling exercise, like the music, everything about it. Like, I need to watch it again. Like, it's like, are you really trying to mess with my head like this?
Oh, it very well could have been. I mean, it very well could have been like where they wanted. Because see, when that came out, the homosexual population was not as prevalent or prominent as it is today.
Well, I mean, that I don't think that movie's that old.
I would say probably
2000. It's 2005.
That's 16 years.
Yeah, but I mean. That's you know, old. I mean, the closet door has been open since, you know, it's been open, you know, it was opening at least in that, or starting to really be open in like the 80s.
It was opened back in the 60s.
Yeah.
So that's the situation. But, yeah. Not to digress, but what you were talking about how you like the artists to do different, to break out. Roles, breakout roles, I think is what it's technically called. The getting away from the
tight like casting.
Mark Hamill as Luke Skywalker, but then Mark Hamill as the voice of the Joker in Batman the Animated Series.
Yeah, he does tons of voice work, like a lot. He's on a ton of Cartoon Network shows.
He was an amazing voice actor.
Yeah, he's an amazing actor.
Well, I've seen some things. One thing I saw him in, he was in it was John Carpenter's Body Bags.
I never saw that one. I do like John Carpenter, but I never saw that.
It's an anthology. I'm a big fan of the anthologies, like mm-hmm. Tales from the Crypt. Body Bags was pretty much an homage to the Twilight Zone. The old Monsters, remember Monsters, or Tales from the Dark Side. Or
yeah.
those anthologies, I don't really know what you, because you can't
like
really
Twilight
call
Zone,
them
the movie,
horror.
Yeah, an anthology, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, you can't really call them horror, though, because Rod Serling didn't do much horror. But
getting back to talking about twists like we were earlier.
yes. He just created a story mm-hmm. that Rod Serling, being the grandfather of it all, he created. Well, I mean, maybe not the grandfather. I mean, there were some writers back before that did some amazing twists. I want to say Augustur Left, but. His stuff he stole.
Even Lovecraft did some twists, you know.
Well, that Augustur Left would take what Lovecraft would do and then turn it into his own.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of writers out there that were extremely Robert Bloch.
Mm-hmm.
He was the one who did the first episode. Oh, he's the one who wrote the first episode of Tales or Twilight Zone. I can't remember what it's called, but it's about a guy who's being hung and he goes through.
Oh, Occurrence at Owl Creek Bridge.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you, sir.
Yeah.
I knew I had the right guy to talk about this.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of a Jacob's Ladder is basically a reimagining of that story. Same thing.
Oh, I've never saw it.
I feel like I just gave you spoilers.
Well, I'm a big fan of the actor, but I've actually never seen it.
It's good. I haven't seen it. I haven't seen it in forever. I remember it as being good, but it's been 20 years, so.
Oh, well, Jacob's Ladder came out, I think, around the same time as Flatliners, and I picked Flatliners. to see when I was younger, and fell in love with that movie. That was a great film.
I saw it. I remember it, but it's been a long time. One of the things that sticks with me is about that is that they made a porn called Fatliners. So,
Forrest Hump. Come on,
yeah, Edward Penis Hands.
They can make a porn parody out of pretty much anything that's out there.
One of my favorites is When Harry Wet Sally. I saw that in a porn shop one day, and that just tickled me to death.
Well, you know, that's thanks to Weird Al Yankovic.
Well, I'm not sure he would step up and own that, but
there's a put in to where you're able to do a parody of something and use the likenesses because it's a parody, you're allowed to use the likenesses without getting permission.
I don't think that's a weird. I mean.
No, he was the one that was sued a lot.
No, actually, I've read interviews.
He was sued a lot.
No, I've read interviews with him. He always asked the person for permission to do their song. So, like, literally, Madonna gave him permission, you know, to do a surgeon.
I've heard a different story where he got sued a lot, where to the point where his lawyer got it to where it was a parody, so they had no leg to stand on. So they just said, you know what, I'll just give you permission instead of paying the countersue, because he would countersue people. Now, this is not, I'm pulling this right out of my butt, because I saw this on YouTube. I think about him on YouTube, so I'm not saying that it's true, but I'm saying that to not pay the countersue, all he had to do was just give him permission, and he would take that gladly, because he didn't want the money. He didn't care about the money, and that's one thing I love about Weird Al.
Yeah, well, no, he's actually a really good dude. I mean, as far as everything, I mean, there's no Weird Al scandals out there, and I don't think there ever will be.
You know what? And if anybody, you would think Weird Al would have one.
No, he's just a funny, goofy dude who likes having fun. Dare to be stupid. I mean, that's a good life philosophy. It's one of the best life philosophies I've ever heard. We're all over the place. Oh my God. All right.
No, it's been actually great. This has been great. What I'm going to do right now is we're going to say goodbye right now. And somebody was trying to call me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to say who. And maybe we could get her on. Maybe not. And we could do a show maybe with her and you on the same thing, because she really enjoyed your show and you really enjoyed her show.
Okay.
That's a lie. And
all right. Well, let's do it. Let's not talk about it. Let's do it or not do it. This is our show
now. Thank you for coming, my good friend.
Thank you for having
me. And go ahead and tell me how much you love We Want the Show.
I love it to pieces. It's one of the best things ever.
All right. If you want to come out, go at We Want the Show 1 on Twitter and wewantheshow.com. Send us all your love or not. It doesn't matter. Just send it out.
Yes.
But much love to all of you. And I hope everyone, especially my hopes and prayers go out to Texas. Right now, this is a huge deal. I actually got a couple friends there, one outside Houston and one in Austin. And so I'm hoping that everyone there is safe, warm. From what I've heard, my buddies are. But a lot of people aren't. So
yeah,
safe, warm for them. And until next time, this is We Want the Show.